completing the teachings of Prahlad to his classmates, chapter 6. Chapter 7 is further teachings. Gotta be strong just to close the gate. Okay, so I see there are some new persons. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the primary great authorities. We heard this morning, amongst the 12 greatest authorities, he's the best. He's the best of the best. So his teachings are authoritative and pure. And powerful. We're going to hear tomorrow morning that what he is teaching to his classmates is what he heard even before he was born. And he didn't forget. We forget, you know, 10 minutes later what we heard. He didn't forget. And he had properly assimilated it, and he knew, according to the audience, how to present it. Great teacher. Teacher by words and teacher by example. He's giving teachings to innocent, attentive, respectful peers. The children are 5 years old, just as he is 5 years old, and yet they're able to be attentive, like children. They were inclined to play, but they were more inclined to follow the lead of Prahlad, who didn't want to be frivolous in play, although he's five. He wanted to speak about Vishnu, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. That was his heart's inclination. And with affection and with compassion, because we'll hear at the conclusion this evening, his friends had never heard anything like this before because they were in a different kind of a school. They were in a school that were conducted by teachers that were blind. And they were considering Vishnu enemy, and anyone connected to Vishnu is enemy. And so blind and materialistic, and training their students to be blind and materialistic and follow them under the order of the parents of these children. So they were really happy to hear. Surprised, because they had never heard this before. It reminds me a little bit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati those of you that are familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Benares, a headquarters for impersonalism, one of the leading sannyasis of the Mayavadis, Prakashananda Saraswati, and his so many associate sannyasis, when they heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Vedanta Sutra, they said, "We never heard anything like this before. It's so pleasing to hear." It's a good fortune to hear transcendental knowledge. The students in that school were fortunate to hear. Prahlad is powerful, pure personality, the representative of the Supreme Personality. To have that opportunity, how fortunate. And similarly, all of us. There's different circumstances of life, and there's good fortune. So a mix of good fortune, ill fortune, and transcendental good fortune. Because hearing from Prahlad Maharaj, like we're doing, he's giving the means to go from material existence, material consciousness, into the realm of pure devotional service. Consciousness that's completely pure, where one can see and receive dictation from Supersoul, the Supreme Lord within the heart. Now, this is the final section of chapter 6. And I've been wanting to say this a few times, but I've been holding off. The teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are the same as the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here is two examples, or it's not proofs, but it's examples. Srila Prabhupada was given the instruction twice to take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the Western countries. Bhaktisiddhanta gave him that instruction. And deliver the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So when he came by boat to deliver the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he brought Canto 1 Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are the same. Another example. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not arrange for a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Because in his estimation, or his understanding, his teaching, Srimad Bhagavatam is that commentary on Vedanta Sutra. We don't need another commentary. The author, Vedanta Sutra's author, was Vyas. He compiled the Vedas, he authored the Vedanta Sutra, and he wrote commentary on Vedanta Sutra. No need. And he accepted the commentary of Sridhar Swami as the authoritative commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So no need. Rupa Goswami, his next in line disciplic succession follower, gave instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam as he had received them from Lord Chaitanya and those authorized to instruct him, Sup Damodar and others, he instructed all of that to Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami compiled the Sandarbhas, which was a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. But it wasn't explicitly a commentary of Vedanta Sutra. It was a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So it's a systematic explanation of Vedanta Sutra according to the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he received from Rupa Goswami, which he received from Lord Chaitanya. And in the Sandarbhas, there's six of them, just as the Vedanta Sutra is organized, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. And so similarly, the Sandarbhas, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Sambandha, it means all the relationship of all things with the source of emanation, acting within that relationship with the source of emanation, the mature stage of acting in that relationship. Prema. He called it Preeti Sandarbha. And acting in the relationship Bhakti Sandarbha, and the other four Sandarbhas, making six, was Sambandha. The source of emanation and how to properly understand the source of emanation of all things. And our relationship. And then acting in the relationship and then the maturity of that. It's a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. At the same time, I'm showing this picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naturally, as a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to show the teaching of the person who I'm following is the greatest. Anyone who's going to do that. Followers of Ramanujacharya would do that, and Madhvacharya would do that, and they would, you know, it's just natural. His strategy was, Jiva Goswami, was the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam are the highest amongst the Vedas. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya are the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are the greatest. Very logical. So the work was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are the same. We're hearing teachings of Prahlad, which is the same, which is from Srimad Bhagavatam, essential teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of, the, as we heard, the mode of devotional service, the mode of pure devotional service, the mode of living in harmony with the spiritual world while in the material world. Transcendental knowledge, living in the world. Transcendental knowledge is devotional service. Two big elements within Prahlad's teachings, I've been meaning to bring it out, I'm doing it now, is detachment and attachment. Attachment through knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. Being attached to the right thing in the right way, not just emotional and sentimental, but, you know, the absolute truth, and be attached to Sat, and don't be attached to Asat. You have to let go. Some of you may know, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya in Chaitanya Charitamrita, super scholar, became a devotee and left behind his super scholarship in favor of devotion by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Long narration. But that's what happened. And then after he became enlightened, just by hearing Lord Chaitanya's explanation of Vedanta Sutra that he had never heard before, and his explanation of the Atmarama verse of Srimad Bhagavatam that he had never heard before, he accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not as a learned fellow, but as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya showed him his form of Radha Krishna. Or in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he showed his form of Sadbhuj. Just like we heard earlier, the Supreme Lord shows his form to those who he chooses to show his form to. And after that realization of the absolute truth as a person, he composed two verses which are in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and one of them is this one that has stood the test of time to indicate this is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teaching. Those of you that know the verse, you can recite it. We'll recite it together. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartham ekam purushak puranaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya sharira dhari kripam buddhir yastam aham prapadye. We'll just start with the first phrase, Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Very important verse, very great one to memorize if you like learning verses. And even if you don't like learning verses, just hear it again and again and you'll learn it. Vairagya vidya. So he taught bhakti, but not exactly detachment, not exactly knowledge, but bhakti that gives real life to transcendental knowledge. Vidya vadhu jivanam. Yes? Shikshastakam. Vidya vadhu jivanam. The chanting is the life of transcendental knowledge. And so that kind of vidya, that's bhakti. And with bhakti is detachment. So the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is this. Shikshartam ekam purushak parana. He is the oldest, he's the original person. He gives teachings about the original person, and he's the original person. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. He has accepted this form. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And he is a Kripa Ambudi. Is it? Ocean of Kripa. Ocean of mercy. I take shelter of him. This is Prahlad. He's a chronologically, you know, precursor to Lord Chaitanya, but the teachings are the same. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of Prahlad are the same. So if you like the teachings of Prahlad, that's good. Because it's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You like the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that's good. Because it's the teachings of Prahlad. It's the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is to come to the stage of Shuddha Bhakti. Even more specifically, Vraja Bhakti. And that's the gift of Lord Chaitanya through the name and through his teachings. Therefore, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they like to hear Prahlad's teachings again and again. This is saying something we said at the very beginning. Mahaprabhu would sit and hear from Gadadhar Pandit, Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically Dhruva and Prahlad Leela, and hear it again and again. Because that's one of the ways of devotion, is you relish the subject matter again and again. And it brings the sweetness out. It brings the juice out. It brings the rasa again and again. It never becomes like the Maha Mantra. It never becomes hackneyed, stale and dry. It's juicy and ever fresh. And it leads to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. We'll hear it explicitly as we go along. I'm sorry, making the point. This is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This on the screen, and it's the teachings of Prahlad, and they're the same. The mouth is Prahlad, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the mouth. But he then had his disciples speak. He had Ramananda Roy speak. He had Haridas Thakur speak. He had Rupa Goswami speak and write. They were his mouthpieces. He gave spiritual empowerment, specifically, it's described. Spiritual power, spiritual empowerment to these personalities, to say what they say, to write what they write, to understand what they understood. And similarly for us, we need spiritual empowerment and listen carefully. In the beginning of chapter 7, Prahlad says to his friends, listen carefully with faith. And although you're small children, you can realize all of these truths. Listen carefully with faith. Vairagya vijanija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushak pranam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shri Dhari Kripam Budhir Yastam Aham Prapadye. A little review. We, in chapter 6, to caution these small boys about materialistic life, and even as children going down the path of materialistic life, it's not a good path. And he outlined what it's like in the, by years. Then he described further subdivisions of those years. He described attached household life. He gave very nice teachings. And then he pointed in the direction of the option. A life of transcendence. A life of devotion. So, in the purport of the next verse, just the one after we ended with, text 18, chapter 6, here's a rhetorical question, maybe a reasonable question. One is certainly very attached to family life, but if one gives up attachment to family life to be attached to the service of the Lord, one must undergo the same endeavor and trouble. Therefore, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to engage in the service of the Lord? The service of the Lord doesn't advocate give up your duties, just the opposite. Continue with your duties. And some people say, I don't have time. There's no space for anything else. I'm full. I have no time. I'm very busy. No time to chant, no time to come here, no time to worship, no time to offer my food to Krishna. It takes too long. Don't have time. Anticipating that question, there's no indication of dialogue here, but he's now pointing in the direction of devotional service. And atmavat sarvabhutanam. This devotional service to Narayana, the Personality of Godhead, is natural because he's already our father. And relationship between the son or the daughter, the child, and the parent, the father, it's already there. It's natural. Not acknowledging it as unnatural and acting accordingly as natural. And it's not difficult. That's the last line. There's no difficulty in pleasing. An affectionate father seeing a small child reaching to affectionate father, the father is pleased. Just whatever it is, it's a natural. If we have that natural, then where does it come from? it's within Narayana, natural. So it's natural and easy. So don't think it's difficult. He's already explained, we've heard, you know, that the profit, the benefit, the business of attached household life, it doesn't bring satisfaction. It's not, it's impermanent, and the real problems of life, the real problems of life have not been addressed. You still have the problems of life with materialistic life. And it's not just, you know, it's cold up north and it's too hot during the summer down south. Or there's a fire in California, or it's not just those things. It's material existence. The problem of material existence isn't solved. Na bahu asaya. There's no impediments to pleasing him. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshipping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. So Komara Acharet Pragyo. It's easy. In the purport, Prabhupada explains these nine processes of bhakti one can do at any stage. And just the interest, the intention that Krishna is to be pleased, that's what is the intention to be awakened. Although the little boy is maybe not so much contemplating pleasing Krishna, he's just like banging on the drum. But the guidance of qualified mother, father is Krishna is to be pleased. That's parenting. And that's the duty of parents, it's the duty of the human form of life, revive that relationship. It's easy, and it's the relationship is natural. We heard earlier in this same chapter, chapter 6, verse number 2, this Ham Bija Pratak Pita. You saw this slide before. Devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu is the most beloved, the master of the soul, the well-wisher of all living beings. There's already a relationship of son and father, the seed-giving father of all living entities. It's natural. So to go from a diseased state to a healthy state, it's natural. It's not like the diseased state. So you may feel uncomfortable. I like the lifestyle of a diseased state. But we do have to change our lifestyle. But it's a natural change. It's a healthy and a natural change. Well, what about my happiness? Am I really going to become happy? Because after all, it's all about me, right? Prabhupada explains, yes, referring to Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. Just observe these three facts. They're already facts. The Supreme Lord Vishnu is the proprietor of the entire creation. He's the well-wishing friend of all living entities. He's the supreme enjoyer, bhokta, of everything. Then, gyatva mam shantim richati, one can become peaceful and happy. The process, the activities, the consciousness of devotion is natural and it's pleasing. And supposing I'm really busy. Some people are really busy. So you do what you can. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya. And satisfaction, at least the awakening of satisfaction and the sense of being protected, is there. It's available. Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamila. What did he do? He was not a good person. But just called Narayana, and even intending something else than Narayana, but calling Narayana, calling his son. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya. If one performs even very slight devotional service, Narayana is always ready to serve, to save one from the greatest danger. That's his nature. Our nature is errant and mixed. Something and something else too. Some devotion and something else besides devotion. But he's very kind and he accepts. Do you have your Bhagavatam with you still? I want to read this little section. There's a few verses. It's one of those therefore that a whole big series of teachings to it. So this is Sambandha, acknowledging the destination of devotion. So just bear with me, it's long. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, sthavara, such as plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy, and the modes of nature, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental super soul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cores of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading super soul. But actually, he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchit-Ananda, being covered by the curtain of the external energy. To the atheist, he appears non-existent. We hear something more about this in chapter 7 tomorrow morning. This is, if you hear carefully or read carefully or contemplate carefully, the whole of spiritual reality is being unfolded through sound. That which we cannot see with our material eyes, we can experience and feel and see with our ears. You've heard that one before, right? Prabhupada said, before you see Krishna, you'll hear Krishna. You worship Krishna nicely, specifically with the deity worship. You worship Krishna nicely, and one day the deity will speak to you. I am like this. So it requires some faith. Breathing requires faith. Walking across the floor requires faith. Drinking water requires, life requires faith. It's inseparable from life. So it's not a bad thing at all. It's life. And if we invest faith in transcendence, that which is coming from the spiritual realm, descending into this realm, revealing what's beyond the modes of nature, beyond karma, beyond creation, beyond that which we can perceive with our blunt material senses, we can get that transcendental picture through sound. And you receive it and you're connected through sound. That's the Vedic process. Sound. Transmitter and receiver. Proper transmitter, proper receiver. Prahlad's the proper transmitter. It's encoded in the Bhagavatam for us. It's a connection, it's an instant connection with the spiritual realm through sound. Lots of mercy. So that's the Sambandhagyan part, and then there are those that don't have that capacity to hear, or they don't have faith, or they don't have the right source to hear from. And so they remain covered by the curtain of the external energy or maya. And so God doesn't exist. Even when Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Nrisimhadeva, he didn't think of him as the personality of God. He's a mystic. He's got some mystic powers. I have some mystic powers too. I'll defeat him. He couldn't see. Even when seeing, he couldn't see. That's pashyati na pashyati. Queen Kunti speaks the same thing. The language is a little more simple, but her term is maya javanika. The Lord is covered by the curtain of maya. You'll see tomorrow morning a similar metaphor is used in chapter 7. It's all seamlessly fit together. So the Supreme, Kunti says, the Supreme Lord, he's not to be faulted for this. He is avyayam, he's irreproachable. What does that mean, irreproachable? That's someone deserves to be reproached. Like, if he's irreproachable, this avyayam also means inexhaustible, which is right in this Sambandhagyan section. Prabhupada's words, Krishna reserves the right. Doesn't have to be seen by offensive people. He reveals himself to whoever he wants to, and there's no fault, and he's irreproachable for that. To cover himself by his yogamaya potency, he is irreproachable. And for those who are inimical, yayatam amprapadyante tang sadaivavajam, you don't want to see me, okay. You can't see me. Here I am, you can't see me. I'm behind the curtain of maya, behind the curtain of the external energy, and all you see is the external energy. And then declare, there's nothing beyond the external energy. It's modern education. It's required. You have to go to school and learn it. Compulsory education. It says, all there is, science. All there is matter, and the laws governing matter, and there's nothing else. And we can't have this other rubbish in the schools. Because that's religion, and this religion and church and state are separate. So you can't teach what's something other than mechanistic science in schools. Checkmate. Guess what? It's Asura Kula. That's what it is. And we pay our taxes to support it. And you can't teach God. you're over there, you can call it religion and do it, but you can't call it science. You can't call it knowledge. No. So then our devotee children have to move in those two worlds. They have to get A's in their exams in the Asura school, and they have to get A's in the devotee school. And move back and forth to different lives. But adults have to do the same thing. So our training of our devotee children so that they're more prepared, not just so they have more stuff than we might have had when we grow up, so we want our children to be happy and have lots of stuff. They need the protection from this maya javanika, the materialistic society that can't see. And they're very strong. They're leading the world. Think about it. The government and the educators leading the world into the ditch. And the devotees are going, yay, you're heading for the ditch. Therefore, the society, Vaishnava Sangha, is so important to give that inner strength so we can live in the world and be instruments of Krishna to give transcendental knowledge by example and by our words, appropriately. Respectfully, respecting the mindset of different people. The teaching Prahlad is giving here is we should act for the Lord's satisfaction in whatever we do. So this is the next verse. Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature, this is the Vairagya, and act without enmity or duality, the friend-enemy program, the thing that you've been hearing from Shandanamarka so much. Leave that duality behind. Come to the spiritual position. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers, which is exactly what he's doing. He's not saying you should do this and I'm going to do something else. He's doing what Narada does, and he's encouraged them to do what Narada does and what he does. Accept and attachment to the spiritual way of life and detachment from the material way of life. He's giving his reasons. That's the previous section, which we covered this morning. Prabhupada loves this and just goes into Sankirtan. This is a scriptural foundation of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. He is immediately, extremely satisfied, quoting Bhagavad Gita. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Pleasing the person only got it. That's Prahlad's message, and here's Bhagavad Gita's message. Can't be more pleasing than this one. Suhridam. Sauridam. Friendliness. At the end of the previous chapter, that was specifically mentioned, Prahlad was very pleasing, friendly, and compassionate to his friends. And they saw him that way. That helped them to hear because his demeanor was very clearly with their interest. Prabhupada writes, as one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. This is my godbrother Sridhar Swami in a mixed company over here where he is distributing transcendental knowledge to all kinds of people. And that's very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. You know, it's decades of effort to get to the stage where one has those literatures and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, that's the gift of our founder Acharya, and continuing that gift of our founder Acharya, giving that to others. There isn't a better humanitarian work than that one. There isn't a better effective way of transforming the hearts and the lives of individuals or society in general. Nothing remains unobtainable for one who satisfies the Lord. This is the next pair of verses, 25-26. I'll read. Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities for devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature. We're not there yet. What is the use of following the principles of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha? Religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature. We, devotees, always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything. This is a characteristic of pure devotional service. Everything is provided. We don't have to ask for everything or anything, just like a small child. Mommy, it's cold. Can I have a jacket? She's got three jackets ready. And two pairs of shoes and some gloves and a hat and three hats. So, you know, the child doesn't have to ask. Parental affection is already there. Now, there's no harm if the child says, can I have a hat? But that's not the greatest benefit that one can receive from a child to a parent. The loving exchange is the greatest thing. And so, okay, the loving exchange may come in the medium of the hat or some kind of something, facility. But the facility isn't the essence, it's the loving exchange is the essence. And that's what Prahlada is pointing to. It's the consciousness behind the activities of life that awakens this real satisfaction, real happiness. And it's fully natural and easy. So this is this vairagya vidya. You don't need stuff. And stuff doesn't represent happiness anyways. And stuff doesn't represent solution to life's problems anyways. So don't desire or aspire for those things, material attainments. Aspire for a heart that's pure and a restoring one's loving relationship with Narayana or Vishnu or Krishna. We're almost finished with the chapter. Only by the spiritual master's mercy is it possible to understand this confidential knowledge. That's what Prahlad says to his classmates. And he got mercy. Now that's Dhruva, not Prahlad, but he got mercy of Narada. And therefore, all of these things, he's able to understand. Lord Narayana, now he didn't disclose to his teachers, he didn't disclose to Hiranyakashipu, but now he's disclosing to his friends. Where he got this? From Narada. Lord Narayana formally explained this transcendental knowledge to the great saint Narada. It is extremely confidential and difficult to understand. Only by Narada's mercy and in his disciplic succession can one understand. Prahlad understands that he's a recipient of mercy, and he understands it because of mercy, because he was receptive. And when he heard, it acted. And he didn't forget, we'll hear. He didn't forget because of Narada's mercy on him. In contrast, his mother forgot. So Prabhupada explains, this is realization requires, he doesn't specifically here say spiritual master, but the association of devotees. The living entity in the material condition wanders through many varieties of life and many varieties of circumstances, but if he comes in contact with a pure devotee and is intelligent enough to take instructions from the pure devotee regarding the process of devotional service, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of Brahman and Paramatma, without difficulty. Because the students, his friends, are eagerly, attentively, with absorption, hearing this message, it's going in, and they become transformed. They become devotees. I received this knowledge from the great saint Narada Muni, who was always engaged in devotional service. So, engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavat Dharma, is fully scientific. This is Prahlad. It's based on logic and philosophy. It is free from all material contamination. Come on and join my bhakti program. And they do. Surrender to Krishna. Make him your all and everything. Prabhupada refers to the Hare Nama verse. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death. That's the gift. So we're concluding the chapter, but reference is being made here to something he says at the very beginning of the chapter. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. Vishatam to Mishram. So the students are really wowed. Wow. That was good. The sons of the demons replied, "Dear Prahlad, neither you nor we, nor any teacher or spiritual master other than Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. After all, we are children, and they are our controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, it is very difficult to associate with a great personality. Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard." That's the end of the chapter. And then it paves the way for chapter 7. The beginning of chapter 7, he describes this situation and what he learned within the womb of his mother from Narada. And, you know, we're not sons of demons exactly, but we're dependent upon hearing from a proper source. That's what ISKCON is, hearing from our founder Acharya, who went out of his way, putting it mildly, to give this gift to the world. To the world! Not to the non-resident Indians living in New Jersey. But to the world. So we're doing some part of his work, and there's another vast part of his work that we have to roll up our sleeves and have strategies to take care of, because otherwise, well, you would have to go to the otherwise. You have work to do, compassionate work to do. So the low-hanging fruit, you know that phrase, that's fine, low-hanging fruit. And then there's the whole tree. And Mahaprabhu wanted to harvest the whole tree. And Srila Prabhupada similarly. So it's quite incomplete. Congratulations, good work done. Quite incomplete. Lot more work to do. Fulfill the desire of Prahlad and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our founder Acharya. Okay, we'll stop there and see if there's some discussion. Turn on the light. You're going to like tomorrow morning's class. It's so, there's a lot more people here in the evening, understandably so. Come tomorrow morning. It's really going to be good. Entertaining and educational at the same time. Promise you. So any discussion?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hello, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello, Hare Krishna.
Thanks for the very nice classes. I've been hearing you for the last 2 days. Not physically, but virtually.
Okay, fine.
Today I'm here physically though.
Okay, great. Glad to have you with us. Your smiling face we can see and enjoy.
Yeah. In yesterday's morning lecture also you mentioned the word duality, where you showed the demon, the evil Satan, and the other side.
Yes.
Other side you showed
the little figure with
angel,
the,
right.
The pitchfork, and he's red, and the little
right.
Halo, and he's an angel.
The word duality, you know, is very intriguing to me. I don't know. It's
very which to you?
Is very intriguing to me.
Intriguing, okay.
Because, like, now also in 7.6.2.4 is the word is the, you say act without enmity and duality.
Yeah.
And then 7.2.8 Krishna says dualities of delusion. You know, this duality is always confuses me. If you can...
Duality confuses you.
Yeah.
So you want to get unconfused.
That's right.
Okay. I visit China, part of my annual travels is to China. And I learned, I've seen this yin-yang symbol, but I learned in China, everybody knows it. So it's easily relatable. It's wherever there's this, there's that. It's right, you know, right in Bhagavad Gita, very beginning. Dvandva. There's duality. There's light, there's dark. There's daytime, there's nighttime, there's happiness, there's distress, there's wet and there's dry, there's up and there's down. Wherever there's this, there's that. That's this place, it's a place of duality. Wherever there is, whatever, think of anything and its opposite is also there. It's in this world of duality. Everything you can think of, that's the nature of this place. And the nature of the spiritual realm is absent duality. To a Mayavadi, it's homogenized Brahman. To a devotee, it's diversity, this of the absolute nature. There's diversity that's all absolute. Advaya. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan are all in the Advaya, the non-dual reality. Diversity. There's form that's absolute. There's Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna. There's diversity, but it's absolute. It's not duality. They're old and he's young. They're eternal. They're Krishna's Shaktiman and they're Shakti. It's absolute. Here is the realm of duality. Wherever there is, there's its opposite and it's temporary and it's insubstantial. That's this realm of, the realm of duality. And that's where we are. It's where, you know, the atmosphere around us is a realm of duality. And in that realm of duality comes features like friend-enemy. Us and them. I and mine. And yours. And material sense. No. In the spiritual sense, I was appreciating this particularly with Mother Jasoda in the Damodar Leela. Or before the Damodar Leela, the wives, the friends of Mother Jasoda, the wives of the other cowherds, they come and complain. But they're not complaining. They're describing their loving affection for Krishna. He comes and steals. Sounds like I and mine. But it's a transcendental, it's a transcendental reality. It's not the mundane I and mine duality. Because if it's mine and Krishna's taking it, then he's a thief. And in the commentary, Krishna says when the husbands of these friends of Mother Jasoda come, and they say, ha, we caught you, you're a thief. Krishna says, I'm not the thief, you're the thief. No, it's loving exchange. All of it is loving exchange. That's absolute. Absolute loving exchange. But here, there's like and dislike. There's duality. There is transcendental, non-dual emotion. Non-dual everything. It's a different realm, different reality. So the invitation that we have from Prahlad is to engage in transcendental reality while we're moving about this world of duality. Don't see friend enemy. You can see behavior that's appropriate and inappropriate or so forth. The transcendental reality is the soul is Krishna's eternal servant. Prabhupada calls it a transcendental brain. It requires a transcendental intelligence to see absolute within this realm of duality. That's coming tomorrow morning. Prahlad gives the example. You'll hear tomorrow morning. Well, virtually or however. He gives the example of a geologist is able to detect where there's gold in a mountain and extract the gold from the mountain. A person that doesn't know that science doesn't know where the gold is, nor they know how to extract the gold from the mountain. Similarly, person of sufficient intelligence, they know how to discern the soul within and connect with the soul within. And the other persons, they're this covered by the curtain of Maya. They don't have the capacity. This Advaya Gyan is beyond them. So they only see duality. We see duality, according to Bhagavad Gita, there's two primary causes. Dvesha toward Krishna and Raga toward Krishna. We covet the position of being the enjoyer. And we have a bad attitude towards he who is the enjoyer. He's the enjoyer. I want to be the enjoyer. Raga Dvesha. Dunda Mohina Bharata. We come into this place. Place of duality. Because of that consciousness. You let go of that consciousness, you can go to the realm of transcendence. Take some mercy, because we're kind of stuck here in this duality place, trying to be happy. Trying to make our family happy and trying to make others happy and lifetime after lifetime trying. But duality, so your question specifically is you're a little puzzled by this word duality, is the place in which we live. This and that. Yin and yang. Place of opposites. By design. Attraction, repulsion. It's the mind. Accepting, rejecting. We just have objects to accept and reject. Yes. You want to wait for, you don't need a microphone. You're a powerful voice. What's the Sanskrit word for what? I don't know. Duality. Dvandva. Dvandva. How's that? Yes. In the back?
Guru Maharaj, more of a comment and sharing, and very eager to hear your thoughts on this specific topic. So I'm very inspired by Prahlad Maharaj, specifically to what exactly made his peers, his friends, listen to him. Of course, he shared the entire Sambandha Abhideya Prayogna Gyan, but is it that or is it more... the way he shared them, like the specific language, the translation that you discussed this morning, he expressed them in a sweet language. And this class you mentioned,
well,
he was...
They were able... The concluding portion of the previous chapter says how it was they were able to hear. They had regard for him. They saw him as affectionate. They looked up to him. They heard with attentiveness. They were eager to hear from him. Now, his delivery is another part of it, but the essential beginning part was their regard. You have to hold like this.
The eagerness, like his school friends.
Huh?
But I was more focusing on like the way he delivered it, Prahlad Maharaj
okay,
delivered
but
it.
I don't want you to, and I don't want the audience to discount the importance of the attitude of the receiving end. There's a transmitting end, and the receiver has to be on. Even if the transmission is really nice. That's all I'm doing here. Okay, so now you're focusing on the transmitting part.
Yes. So, coming back to...
Please hold it like this, because otherwise...
Sure. Coming back to our practical life, so we often hear the urgency in preparing our younger generation, because they are our future.
Yes.
And because of that... there is like a pressure, and as an educator, as a parent. So, and so much is loaded in these little brains, devotee kids. I'm talking about small devotee kids. And what I'm seeing is the knowledge, the strong language that they are often used to hearing, it comes out as a whippersnapper kind of a mode when a small kid ends up talking. So, I was eager to hear your thoughts on the age appropriateness in introducing and gradually developing a child's understanding of Krishna consciousness.
Well, you're a better spokesperson than me, because I'm not a parent. I'm not day after day dealing with little ones. I occasionally deal with little ones. You're day by day, and you're really invested in the art and the science of it. You're probably a better person to speak on it than me. However, every individual is individual. There's developmental stages kind of approach, and there's the individual kind of approach. And a teacher that's a gifted teacher, parent as a gifted parent, tunes into the student and understands the nature of the student, and they supply the resources according to the nature of the student. And then, of course, there's different models out there. Developmental stages is a real popular one these days. You know, I don't know if that's so much a part of traditional Vedic culture, the developmental model picture, more the picture that I have of the Vedic model is a qualified brahmana that does two things. They impart character, and then they see the nature of the child, and they instruct according to the nature of the child. That's my understanding. It's pretty simple. It's relationship. And, you know, some teachers, they're not into relationship, they're into methods. And some teachers are into relationships. They have all kinds of tools in their toolbox. And according to the relationship, it's this one or that one. I like that model. But, you know, I'm not a parent. I'm not a teacher of small children. Understand... So character, and understand the nature of the child, and supply the resources to the child according to their nature. And support that. And if that's coming from a place of a loving teacher, a loving parent. And behind that loving teacher, loving parent is Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Bhakti is going to get passed through that flow of exchange, parent to child or teacher to student. And then appropriate for the individual, the Krishna Bhakti message, whatever of the topic might be, the soul or cows or, you know, other living entities. And, you know, then there are people that kill cows and people that are hurtful to other living entities. And how do you relate to those people? And so on an individual basis, it takes time. It takes skill. It takes wisdom. That's the model I like. That's a good teacher. And when the student or the child has someone working with them in that way, they want to learn. No, I'm going to call on others first before you again. Just calm down. Yes.
Maharaj, I wanted to understand Vairagya Vidya Nija
Bhakti. You want to understand what?
Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Does it mean that only Nija Bhakti Yoga, only through Bhakti Yoga we can understand Supreme Personality of Godhead, not through renunciation, not through Vairagya, not through Vidya education? Does that mean that?
It's not. We trash those things. We'll hear tomorrow. You know, something a little different than what we heard this afternoon or this morning about, you know, people getting too analytical. Prahlad is advising, get analytical. But that's part of bhakti. You use those faculties in service to Krishna, not independent, not through the medium of analysis we're going to understand. We apply the faculty of discernment in service to Krishna to understand, try to understand. But it's not speculative knowledge. It's through hearing and, you know, the lights on, we want to understand. And detachment. We don't, you know, wait for our attachments to fall away. We strive to have our attachments diminished. We don't act on them and feed them and obsess upon them. We cultivate going away from them. Not. And that's part of bhakti. But the detachment on its own and knowledge on its own doesn't get, but it's a subset of bhakti. That's Lord Chaitanya. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. This is a subset of. It's like Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. Well, we don't need to read that chapter. That's about knowledge. We just want to go to the bhakti section. You need knowledge. Applied in Krishna service. One of the main teachings of Prahlad, the acharya for the chanting of the holy name. You cannot come to the full benefit of the holy name without proper sambandhagyan. You have to have knowledge. If you don't know what's what and you're chanting, you can go in cuckoo land. Chanting. You know, some benefit, sure. But to get the full benefit, I shouldn't say cuckoo land, you get some benefit, but you can become an impersonalist, an offender, without proper and that happens, without proper sambandhagyan. So we need the association of those who have sambandhagyan to receive sambandhagyan, and then we can do our chanting properly, the bhakti, properly. So bhakti is independent, but it draws assistance from and is supported by proper knowledge and detachment. It's all a subset of, they are subsets of bhakti when properly aligned.
So, yeah? So I can understand, I mean, as per your explanation, it meant the vairagya and vidya are the subset of bhakti.
They're
a subset of bhakti. Vairagya, that's what it meant when it said vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga.
Correct. You know the verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha, Janiyati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha. You know the verse, right? Canto 1, Chapter 2, I think it's text number 7. They causelessly, knowledge and detachment causelessly arise when one engages in devotional service. That doesn't mean, okay, I'll just do devotional service and I don't read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. I just do devotional service and knowledge is going to arise and detachment is going to arise. Look out, here I come. It's a subset of. Our reading of Bhagavad Gita is not cultivation of knowledge per se. It's bhakti. For some persons, it's just cultivation of knowledge, no bhakti. For us, it's cultivation of bhakti. It's by the author, by the commentator and the speaker, it's to nourish bhakti. And knowledge is there. And it's important for us to know Bhagavad Gita. It's important for us to know what's what as we move through life. And we're meant to try to understand because our discerning faculty and intelligence is muyanti, bewildered by duality, right? Bewildered by duality. Okay. Yes.
Ribo Maharaj, first of all, I wanted to thank you for the answer you gave me yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I gave some more
this morning too.
You did?
Yeah.
I thought
I was thinking about it and I shared some more this morning. You can go back and listen.
I really, really slept on it and it really gave me a new vision that when I look at the news and when I hear stuff, it really gave me a more sober point of view
at
life. And so my question today is, you discussed how Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is an incredibly scientific, logical, and reasonable science. But we also discussed that Krishna is beyond our scientific probing and logic and reason. So what science, logic, and reason is Prabhupada referring to?
Spiritual science, spiritual logic, and spiritual reason.
And we can only learn that through mercy.
Well, we apply what we have and spiritualize. Our faculty of those three things is reflection and distorted reflection. Yeah. But that's what we have to work with.
Gotcha.
It's like a glove and you put your fingers in the glove and the glove wiggles. Only because your fingers inside and your fingers are wiggling and otherwise the glove just sits there. It's got fingers, but it doesn't wiggle. So, the spirit of bhakti is what's being aroused by our trying to apply the glove, you know, the dull capacity of logic and reason. But the goal is to spiritualize that. Spiritualize it means it acts in a spiritual way. Although it's matter, it becomes spiritualized, right?
Yes.
Like electricity in a copper wire and becomes electricity. But it's just a copper wire.
Yeah.
Becomes electricity. Grab a hold. Ah! Electricity. It acts in, so our logic and reason capacity can act in a spiritual way. And we're enjoined to do that. Not to speculate, but apply our faculties.
So it's not that I can like use my material school knowledge for spiritual.
Well, you don't trash it either. You know, there was a question. I don't know if you were here for that question. How do you encourage somebody that, is Atulia here? Yeah. It was her question. Someone's going to school.
Okay.
They get introduced to Krishna Bhakti. Mm-hmm. Wow, Krishna Bhakti's great. I'm not interested in school anymore. It just doesn't like. So how do you encourage that person to, you know, keep going with your schoolwork? It's the simplified version of her question. And I point to myself when that question rises, which is, I don't remember what I learned in high school and college, but the capacity, the discerning capacity is with me. That skill was honed and it got further developed and spiritualized in Krishna consciousness. I don't remember those subject matters. Some things.
But you use those skills in your Krishna consciousness.
Yes. 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 So develop your faculties so you can use them in Krishna service. It may not be in that particular field of study. Maybe, may not be. Depends. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Back in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks for a wonderful class. My question to you today morning, you made a statement.
Could you hold the microphone?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you.
Just
today morning you made a statement that no need to renounce anything in Krishna conscious. The only thing you have to renounce that everything belongs to you.
Well, you don't have to renounce your possessions. You have to renounce the misconception you have possessions to renounce.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very far out statement, like in the sense, it's extremely powerful. And I was thinking how to come to that stage where I can, like, you know.
Practice,
exactly.
And here.
Yes. Right.
And practice and here and. Abhyasa. That's how. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chitta sananya kamino. A practice. And when you forget, oh, I forgot, then you sit straight again. You're like being attentive when chanting. You practice. And then you get distracted. You go back to being attentive and chanting again. Practice. Practice makes perfect. But, you know, there's, in addition to practice, there's call for mercy. So associate with those that have that quality. Prahlad has that, so, you know, hear from him and pray to him and etc. That's the way we develop those qualities. Mercy and effort. The two things. Abhyasa. Mercy. Please. You know that one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. You're on. He doesn't need the microphone. He's a powerful speaker.
I was chatting with
Hare Krishna. Could you give some ideas on how to deal with autism in kids, because that's
how do you do what?
How do you deal with autism in kids? And what is the Vedic?
Take the microphone away. I can hear you better without it. Autism in kids. You go to a doctor that knows how to deal with autism in kids. I don't know. Doctors that's their field. They know. I don't know. I don't claim to speak about things I don't know. I don't know. Go to people that's their profession. That's my answer. You know, as a parent, you can continue to give what parents give to children. Affection and love and, you know, everything. Do you have an answer?
Not the answer, Maharaj. I just work with the autistic kids, so I can just give a little bit about
her.
That. That, like, those kids, they are in, like, really, really in great need, and compassion and love is the best thing you can give to them. And as our Guru Maharaj, everybody says that, loving everybody, all the living entities, but they really need a lot of care and love. So that's what we can deal with them. That's the
okay, well, there's the professional. I mean, aside from what professionals say, that's an obvious factor, but if that's what the professionals say, then maybe there's nothing more you can do than that. Is there nothing more you can do than that? Really? That's it. Wow. Is that your profession? Yes? But specifically with autistic kids? Wow. Thank you for that. Okay. Oh, there's medicine. Okay. Okay. Someone else had their hand up. No. Okay, we're done. Huh? Okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I really like the way you really presented the whole topic of Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. We started like the teaching primarily explaining the friend and enemy. Like, you know, Prahlad started defining the friend and enemy, and you really beautifully explained how the things like which is not favorable to devotion or developing bhakti is your enemy. For example, like the too much material attachment or the graha vrtana. And also you explained on...
You're repeating Prahlad's teachings.
No, no, I am just telling the reflection. Like, I really liked it, like how you explained those enemies. What are the enemies and what is the friend?
Okay. It's just some appreciation. I'm appreciating your appreciation. Lovely appreciation. Was there someone else? No. Yes, one more. You got to go get the microphone.
Prabhupada said that realization is possible in the association of devotees. In the slide it said realization is possible in the association of devotees.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wanted to understand a little bit that elaborately. Like, my knowledge is possible, but I felt for realization, there has to be mercy or, how is it related? What kind of association? Just hearing or, I mean, I want to understand how is that possible? Like,
well, you know, are you asking, I'm trying to understand what your question is. Are you asking, what does sadhu sangha look like? What are the elements that make it up?
I thought association means like getting the knowledge and practicing it. But
that's
realization part is something which is not in my control. That's what I thought, but...
Well...
So when there was a tip that association is the key for realization, so I was just trying to understand how is it possible.
It's easy to talk. I'm trying to understand what your question is, and that's where I'm struggling with, is not how to give an answer. I want to address your question, and I'm not clear what your question is. So let me try to say back what I think your question is.
For example, knowledge is to know that I'm not the body and I'm spirit soul.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's a knowledge. So Prabhupada said realization is possible in the association
of
devotees. Yes,
okay, so if you associate, just take that one. If you associate with persons like Prahlad, who very clearly understands he's spirit soul, not the body, then more likely you're going to get the realization that you're spirit soul, not the body. But hearing from him is part of it. But then there's other things besides hearing from him. It's doing things, you know, sadhu sangha, you bhajan a kriya, you do things together with those people that at least are striving for that position. For example, and not this body position. Not fanatical, obsessed kind of, but striving in a sincere, genuine way. Say deity worship. Associate with devotees that are absorbed in deity worship. And then your realization about the deity is Krishna will grow. Etc. Japa. You know, abhinatam nama namino. I want to have a realization. So associate with persons. Now, you hear from those persons, but be in the company of those persons who are absorbed like that. And it's not something, you know, sometimes, but it's their absorption. They've really worked on it. And just being with those persons, hearing from those persons, and chanting with those persons, and, you know, discussing other topics of Krishna, cooking together with persons that's their absorption is, the holy name and Krishna are the same. You'll get some more realization than otherwise. That's sadhu sangha. It's not just, you know, we go to a festival and there's lots of kirtan. It's...
Thank you, man.
Hey. One last question. You have the distinguished position. Speak slowly and clearly.
Sure. Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. Maharaj, one thing I learned, I didn't attend the class completely, but then one thing that's staying in my mind is when you said like, we have to get attached to the sat and let go of the asat. This may be the question, maybe repeated question, but then I want to know how to implement this in our day-to-day life.
How to bring it into our day-to-day life?
Yes.
That's what you want to know?
Yes, Maharaj.
Practice it.
So, examples, Maharaj?
Sure. Your spirit soul?
Yes.
Practice it. No, I have a body, and I take care of my body. But I need to take care of my spirit soul. You know, the bird in the cage, you know that one? Polish the cage and don't feed the bird and he dies.
Yes.
So, practice it. Looks like not just this part, secularism says this part of my day I look after the soul, the rest of the day looking after my body. But at least in a concentrated manner, in a focused, purposeful manner, I'm doing this cleansing of consciousness through chanting. So I'm cultivating the consciousness that I'm spirit soul by doing something that has nothing to do with the body. It doesn't have anything to do with wealth and sense gratification and, you know, bringing sense happiness. It has to do with the soul. It's one of the reasons the mind gets distracted.
Yes.
It's not fruitive. And we're trained up for fruitive. It's not fruitive. It's abjectly not fruitive. Do it. In the consciousness that is for the soul. It's nourishing the consciousness, the higher spiritual consciousness that's innate within. That's a practical application. And then do that every day. Here's Yoga Sutras, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras says, every day, for a prolonged period of time, with faith. That's an example. And what happens is that consciousness starts to grow. You know, the darkness becomes filled with light. And then you start to see the soul, presence of the soul, and feel the presence of the soul in activity throughout the day, aside from when you're doing your soul activity, the mantra chanting. But you have to do it qualitatively, consciously, purposefully, deliberately, with proper sambandh again. The name is Krishna. You're with Krishna. Don't do that, and it won't be as effective. So you know, some benefit, but it's marginal or modest. There's an example. Chanting. It's a good starting point, for example, because it's our primary means of deliverance. You want another example?
Yes.
Yeah? Family. Here's a spirit soul. This is my wife. But she's a spirit soul. And there's my child, son or daughter, or children. They're spirit soul. They have bodies. I deal with that. And we have a relationship that's, you know, we do things together. We eat together and we go to school and help them with their homework and whatever, you know. But they're spirit soul. So let me practice seeing them as spirit soul. Regard them, because that's what Prahlada is saying. The friends and enemy program is something else. It's not just I and mine, but, you know, spirit soul. Krishna has entrusted me with this soul to serve together and grow together according to the stage of life and, you know, different positions of maturing and everything, and, you know, including my relationship with my wife. And those undergo changes I've seen. So that's okay. Spirit soul. Dealing with the temporary in service to Krishna. That's practical. Really practical. Don't do that. You have another situation. You have the Grihamedi situation. The attached situation. It's the default mode. Don't go to the default mode. Go to the proactive cultivation of bhakti mode and see spirit soul, because they're spirit soul. It's an opportunity for realization of their spiritual identity and your spiritual identity guided by super soul. That's practical. Eating. You know, you just take different items of this part of life. It's a material activity. Spiritualize it. Not just, you know, ring a bell and say some words and now it's spiritual. And you invest consciousness in the act of eating. Mindful eating.
Yes.
Krishna, you know, conscious eating. Krishna conscious eating.
Okay, Maharaj.
Because it's to nourish the body, to spiritualize the body for the spiritual destination. That's where my life is taking me. That's Krishna conscious mindfulness and eating.
Yes, that answers my question.
Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Abhyasa. Krishne Matirastu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.